Well, good morning. My name is Mark, and I'm one of the pastors here. It's my privilege to open God's Word with you today. One of my new and recent Christian heroes is a guy named Jake DeShazer. Got to give a shout-out to my friend Steve for turning me on to Jake. Jake was a World War II bomber pilot who was shot down and spent about 3 years in a Japanese prisoner of war camp. He was part of the Doolittle Raids, if you know your World War II history. And although Jake had been raised in a Christian environment, at the time that he was in the brutal conditions of the camp, he was far from God, and he was at the point of despair. But then a close friend of his, fellow pilot, shared the gospel with him, shared the saving message of Jesus Christ with him, and Jake placed his trust in Christ. And Jake's biographer writes this. He says, despite the fact that he was a POW, in solitary confinement, at that moment, Jake's heart was filled with joy. Joy like he had never felt before in his life. You see, Jake found Jesus at the darkest point in his life, and his life was filled with a sense of joy, joy unspeakable and full of glory. But after Jake was released at the end of the war, he did not keep the joy to himself. Even though he was blessed with salvation and blessed with the knowledge of Christ, he didn't keep it to himself. In fact, from an early point, Jake felt a calling to actually go back to Japan and share the blessing that he had received with his former captors. And he did that. He spent about 30 years, he and his wife, his family, laboring there in Japan, blessing the Japanese people with the blessing of the gospel, sharing the love and peace and joy that are only found through Jesus Christ. This morning, we're focusing on global outreach. As Andy said, we're focusing on missions. This is part of our first ever City Light Missions Conference. Ever since the beginning at City Light, since the church started, we have had a desire and had a heart to see all the nations of the earth reached with the saving message of Christ. And so this week, we're doing some special things to that end. We have this message this morning. The next thing, as Andy mentioned, would be to come out this Thursday night and be part of our prayer meeting, where we will specifically focus on prayer for the nations. And even if you're like, well, I don't know much about this missions thing or nations, I don't know if that's my thing, stick around. You're going to hear something interesting. I think there'll be something for everyone here. So our text this morning is Jenny read Psalm 67. It's one of my favorite passages of the Bible, frankly. Psalm 67 is a song of praise that celebrates God's blessing of his people. You probably noticed the repetition of the word bless and the word praise all throughout there. And the big idea this morning is this: God's people are blessed in order to bless the nations. God's people are blessed in order to bless the nations. Maybe you've heard the expression, we're blessed to be a blessing. Anyone ever hear that? You've heard that, sure. And that's true, and that's awesome. But this psalm puts a finer point on that, because it doesn't just say that God's people are blessed to be a blessing in general. No. It says that God's people are blessed for a specific purpose, in order that the nations might be blessed, in order that the nations might know and fear and praise God. Now, a little disclaimer. We're going to get a little teachy this morning. I'm going to get a little detail on a couple points. I hope that's okay with you. I'm a Bible teacher, and that's kind of the way I like to roll sometimes. So just a little disclaimer. We're going to go a little deep in points here and there. But the big idea, God's people are blessed in order to bless the nations, and there are three things we're going to look at. Number one, God blesses his people. Number two, the blessing has a purpose. And number three, the purpose is the praise of all nations. All right? God blesses his people. The blessing has a purpose. The purpose is the praise of all nations. Let's get into it. Point one, God blesses his people. Let's take a look at verse one. It says this, may God, very simple, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. Now, this is a prayer, right? It's a prayer. May God, it's a prayer. But it's not asking God to do something that he's reluctant to do, right? I mean, we all find ourselves in situations where we have to ask someone and like, you know, they're kind of reluctant to grant the request. It's not what's going on here at all. God's not reluctant to bless his people. No, far from it. Friends, God's heart is to bless. In fact, this is right at the center of the heart of God. From Genesis to Revelation, we see that God is a God of blessing. And he desires to bless us. We see in all the way back in Genesis 1 and 2, God creates Adam and Eve, and he creates this beautiful world, and he puts them in this, Adam and Eve, in this place of perfect blessedness, where there's food and there's environment, and it's just amazing. And even though that gets messed up due to human sin, we see that God continues to bless his people. He sends Noah. He sends Abraham. He says, through Abraham, all the families of the earth will be blessed, right? Later on, he sends Moses to bring his people out of bondage, put them into what? The promised land, which is a place of abundance and blessing. He sends Jesus, of course, and ultimately, God is going to remake this world into a place of ultimate blessedness. Friends, God's heart is to bless. Isn't that good news this morning? It's good news. The second part of verse 1 says this, and make his face to shine upon us. Now, what's that mean? Well, think about this. You ever notice how goofy, like, most people get with babies, like around babies, right? Think about that. You know, take the most, like, stodgy, you know, serious, you know, stolid person you know, kind of like me. And, you know, but put a baby around them. And let's say absolutely hate kids. Like, what do? Like, their face lights up. They go, ah, look at this. Look at the little baby. If there's a baby on you, try this right now. It'll really freak them out. No. But they go, look at the little peekaboo. They do all this stuff. They go temporarily insane. But what does the face do? Their face shines, right? The face shines. And so when it says, "God, may God bless us and make his face shine upon us," it's like saying this. It's saying, oh God, Abba Father, shine your face on us like a parent delighting over their child. Brighten your face just the way mother or father delights their child. And that's God's heart for you, my friend. If you know him, if you're in covenant relationship through Jesus Christ, God's heart is to bless you and his face shines upon you this morning. You're his child and he is absolutely delighted in you. Isn't that good news? Just a couple clarifications, though. Notice it doesn't say, may God bless me and make his face shine upon me. It doesn't say that, does it? It says, may God bless us. In other words, the blessing is given primarily to God's people. It's given to a group of people. It's a plea and a prayer that says God's heart is to bless his people in covenant relationship with him. That's you and me. And he does it for a reason. That's the next point. Now, you might be wondering what kind of blessing we're talking about here. You know, we see a lot of blessing going on, you know. See a lot of different ways people talk about blessings. Oh, I scored, you know, Eagles season tickets, you know, hashtag blessed. You know, I scored, you know, scored a Michael Kors bag or something on closeout, hashtag blessed. All right. Not that kind of thing. In fact, in this, if all we had was this psalm, you probably would come away thinking that the blessing is primarily material. I mean, look at verse 6. It says, the earth has yielded its increase. That's crops, you know, and God shall bless us. Psalm 144, you can see this all over the place. It's not hard to find. It says, may our granaries be full. That's stuff, you know, providing all kinds of produce. May our sheep bring forth thousands. It's saying, may we have lots of stuff. But you can't stop there, or else you will miss the entire point of Psalm 67 in the context of the entire Bible. A little sidebar on Bible study. Friends, anytime we study the Bible, whether it's you and your morning devotions, whether it's with your D group, whether it's with your city group, we always want to place each passage of Scripture in the context of the entire Scripture, or else we go wildly wrong. A little plug here. Next week, we're starting a sermon series on the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, really interesting book. You better believe, though, you have to put that book in the context of the entire Bible, or you will come away with some odd notions about how to apply Ecclesiastes. You see, under the old covenant, material blessing was part of the big sign of God's favor on his people. But in the new covenant, in the age of Christ in which you and I live, material blessing is no longer the sign. Let me say that again. Material blessing is no longer the sign. Because the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has done what? Blessed us in Christ with what? Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. You see that? In other words, our blessings now are primarily spiritual in and through Christ, and our treasure is in heaven. And the way God shows his favor on his people is not to shower them with, you know, sheep and grain. I don't know what we would do with that anyway. But to shower them with spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. The fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit and the power and the fellowship and the love that we have with one another. Now, does this mean the material is out the window? No, but oh man, does it relegate that way, 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 way down the list. In fact, I'm going to go further than this. In the upside-down kingdom that Jesus came to establish, the last are first, the first are last. He raises the poor from the dust, puts the needy on a throne. What I'm saying is this. It is actually very often opposition and suffering that is the sign of God's favor in your life. Okay? The Apostle Peter writes, 1 Peter 4:14, if you are insulted for the name of Christ, what does he say? You are blessed. Look at that. Because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. So if you're suffering now, it doesn't mean God hates you. It doesn't mean you're out of God's favor. Far from it. In fact, let me say this. If you have someone in your life who's laying that trip on you and says, oh, my friend, well, it must be because you sin. Let's figure out what that is. And God's not happy with you. Just do yourself a favor. Just delete that person's contact information. You don't need that. You don't need that in your life. So the way to pray Psalm 67 now is to pray, oh, God, bless us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. And it's okay to pray that. In fact, I'm going to simplify it for you. Just pray this. Oh, God, bless me with whatever will make Jesus look good in my life. Bless me with whatever will make Jesus look good and glorious in my life. Whether abasement or abundance, whether riches or poverty, whether affliction or abundance, whether reproach or renown, whatever will make Jesus look good through us. Through me. Is that your prayer? So here's a question. How has God blessed us? How has God blessed you as his covenant child? What unique time, talents, and treasures has God given you? What spiritual gifts has God given you to bless others? How has he blessed your city group, perhaps? Your family? How has he blessed our church? We actually think about this as our leadership. You know, how has God uniquely gifted and blessed City Light Church or the Delco congregation or Manioc or Center City or whatever it is? And if you're saying, boy, I don't feel so blessed this morning, you know, you don't know what I'm going through. Child of God, rest assured that even your seasons of affliction and suffering are brought into your life by the hand of a loving and sovereign God who means blessing through them. He will be with you in it. He will see you through it. And he will bring blessing and glory and goodness from it. You can bank on that. So be aware of how God has uniquely blessed you and the people you're a part of. And then pray for him to bless you with anything that will make Jesus look good. And if you pray that, guess what? You can't go wrong. You can't go wrong. Let his glory be shown as he blesses you with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Point one. Point two, the blessing has a purpose. The blessing has a purpose. This point is going to be short. Verses 1 and 2 say, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. Selah. It's a Hebrew word, just means pause. And then it says that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Now, the whole point of this short point is baked into that little word that. Okay? In the Hebrew, it's just one letter. It's the word luh. Luh. Everyone say luh. Yeah, luh. See, if nothing else, you've learned some Hebrew this morning. Isn't that exciting? And luh means that. It's an infinitive construct if you're a real Hebrew nerd out there. But in any case, it's a little construction that packs a big punch. Why? Because it expresses purpose. Friends, another little sidebar on Bible study. Whenever we study the Bible, whether it's your morning devotions or whether it's your D group or wherever it may be, don't just clue into the statements about God. Don't just clue into the glorious assertions about God and Christ and sin and humanity and all this stuff. Also clue into the purpose words. Clue into, sometimes they're little words, you pass them. Clue into the little words that indicate why God does something. Little words like that and thus and therefore. Whenever you see a therefore, ask yourself, what is the therefore? Therefore, you see. And what we see here, this little word that, the little Hebrew word la, tells us something very deep. It tells us that God's blessing has a purpose. He blesses his people, not in the abstract. There's a reason for God blessing his people. Parents, why do you bless your kids? Well, part of it is because you can't help it. You just love them. But part of it is, am I wrong? Part of it is you bless your kids with all the love and support and material stuff and all this stuff because you want them to be so strong and so secure and so supported that they will grow up and they will in turn grow up to be people of quality who in turn will bless others. Isn't that true? Your blessing for your kids has a purpose. God's blessing for his kids has a purpose. The blessing has a purpose. How can you use God's blessing in your life to bless others? We're going to get specific about the nations and missions in just a second. Let's just camp out for a second on the general principle. However God has blessed you, your family, your city group, and all that, how can you use that to bless others? Think about that. Be creative in ways to bless others. Now, you may say, Mark, I don't know. I really don't think I have a lot to offer. I feel like I take way more than I give. I've got issues. I've got setbacks. My issues have issues. My setbacks have setbacks. You don't know my life. Are you kidding me? I sympathize, but my friend, I want to tell you, I just want to remind you this morning, you have the presence of the Most High God living in you. Do you realize that? The living God is alive in you and wants to use you to bless others. You have enough power in your little finger to send an entire horde of demons packing. You have power to heal and to raise the dead. The very power that raised Christ from the dead is at work in you. The smallest word or act of kindness done in the name of Christ can change a life and echo in eternity. We have tremendous power, and don't ever believe the lie that you don't have something to offer. God has blessed us with spiritual blessings in Christ that can do amazing things if we let them. That's it for that point. God blesses his people. The blessing has a purpose. Now we're going to go on point three. We're going to camp out on this point. You're like, oh, we're going to be out here quick. Nope, this is a long point. Sorry. Point three, and it says the purpose is the praise of all nations. According to Psalm 67 and many other scriptures like it, the purpose of God blessing his people is that all the nations might praise him, that every nation, what's a nation? We'll talk about that, that every nation in every place might praise him. Now, where am I getting that from? Now, I need you, we're going to get a little, I told you, a little teachy, a little Bible study. Just bear with me. It'll all come good in a minute. Let's look at this. Look at verse 2 again. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. That, we talked about the that. Here's the reason for the that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. So verse 2 tells us that the purpose of God blessing his people is that all the earth and that the nations, we'll talk about what a nation is in a second, all the nations would know him. Follow the verbs. The verb is know. But there's more. Flip down to verse 7, and we read a parallel idea. It says, God shall bless us, let all the ends of the earth fear him. You see the parallelism? Know is parallel to fear. You with me on that? They're not two different things. They're two different ways of saying the same thing. But look at there's this huge, like, middle of the sandwich. It's like double stuff deal in the middle from verses 3 to 5, and it says this, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. And it says, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity. You guide the nations upon the earth. Selah, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The middle of the psalm, this like double stuff, you know, beautiful thing, the psalm goes off on this ecstasy of the praise of God among all the nations of the earth. So let's tie this together. Verse 2, the nations will know him. Verse 7, the nations will fear him. And all this stuff in the middle, 3 to 5, the nations would praise him. Is this three different purposes? No. It's just three ways of getting at the same purpose. See? In other words, let me say it this way. To know God, if you truly know him, is to fear him. To truly fear him is to truly love him, which results in praise. The praise of God among the nations. So that's why our big idea involves blessing and praise, because that's what the psalm focuses on, praising God. The priority is on praise. Check out those verses 3 to 5 again. It's amazing. So I'm going to sum this up. No matter how you slice it, God blesses his people for a purpose, And the purpose, you could describe it as knowing God, you could describe it as fearing God, or we could describe it in these terms, the praise of God among all the nations of the earth. Joy, celebrating the love and goodness and gloriousness of God. In other words, John Piper, pastor in Minnesota, has said this: missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is. Notice, I've barely said the word missions once. We've been talking about blessing and praise. Missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is. John Piper says missions exists because worship doesn't. 17 years ago, I ordered this book on Amazon, and I read these words, and it changed my life, and I ended up going and serving overseas among an unreached nation in Central Asia. Friends, what this quote means is that God, and what Psalm 67 means is God is looking for worshipers. God's looking for worshipers. God's looking for people who will worship him, who will fall down before him, who will praise him. Why? Not because he's needy. Mm-mm. God is perfectly independent and self-sufficient and eternally happy and blessed in and of himself. But because of that, God knows that for all of his creatures, for everyone whom out of his glory and goodness and wisdom he's created, our only happiness, folks, listen, is found in knowing him. Is found in worshiping him, see? The ultimate blessedness and happiness of every man, woman, and child that ever lived will only be found through being related to, through knowing, through fearing, through worshiping, through loving the Lord God. Joy and happiness are not found anywhere else. So God is looking for worshipers. And what John Piper is saying, he's absolutely right. The reason we do missions, the reason we go to these nations and all that, the reason we go and you know, learn languages and spread the gospel is so that a song of praise would rise up among all the nations of the earth. So that's what God is doing. And the whole of human history will be summed up, as the book of Revelation says, when people from every nation, tribe, and tongue, from all the nations of the earth are worshiping God, sharing in the worship of God and the Lamb. So the praise of God is the purpose of the blessing. Now, what's a nation? We've been saying nation, nation, nation. What's a nation? There's a linguistic problem here. I need to explain this. In English, if I say nation, you're likely to think country. You're likely to think a political country. According to the internet, there are about 195 political countries. But that's not what this word means. The Hebrew words am and goy and the Greek word ethnos do not mean political nations, no. What they mean are cultural and ethnic groups, okay? Think about an ethnic group. Maybe they have their own language, their own culture, their own ways, so that they're kind of a self-contained unit. And what Psalm 67 and what the entire rest of Scripture is saying is that God's heart is for every one of these ethnic groups, any one of these cultural, ethno-linguistic people groups, you may hear that term. God's heart is that each and every one of those will be reached with the gospel. You see, think about it this way. If God's goal was that every country would be reached with the gospel, guess what? We've got that already. There's believers in Christ in all 195 countries, even the ones you don't think there would be, there are. But if we think we have to use biblical words and biblical ways, and the word used here and used elsewhere is referring to a smaller type of entity. You with me? So leads to the question, well, 195 countries, how many of these biblical nations are there? Get ready. Ready for this? More than 195? Yes. More than 500? Yes. Keep going. More than 1,000? Keep going. More than 5,000? Keep going. More than 10,000? Yes. Depending on who's counting, depending on how you do the math, average of different estimates is about 13,000 ethno-linguistic people groups all throughout the world. That's a lot of groups. In other words, Afghanistan is a country I know well. Afghanistan, one political country, maybe 40 or more people groups. You have Tajiks and Pashtuns and Hazaras and Uzbeks and many, many more. Nigeria, one political country, but you've got Hausa and Fulani. You've got Yoruba and you've got Igbo. You have multiple people groups in God's heart, see, according to Psalm 67 and according to many, many other scriptures, is that each and every one of these groups would be reached with the gospel so that a beautiful song of praise would arise. And if you're wondering, gosh, that sounds like a lot of groups. If there's 13,000 of them, how many of them have yet to hear the gospel? The answer is a lot. Again, estimates vary. You're talking about, folks, rough estimate, 6,000 ethnic people groups still do not yet have a solid gospel witness or a solid established church that can continue spreading the gospel. About half the world's population still unreached with the gospel. There is quite a bit of work left to do. Don't let anyone tell you different. And as a matter of strategic priority, at City Light Church, we have decided to make our focus the unreached groups, the 6,000, half the world's population that has not yet heard the gospel sufficiently so that the message can continue spreading for the rest of its people. So what all this means, thank you for bearing with me on this, what all this means is that Psalm 67 is telling us that God's people are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ in order to pass the blessing on to each and every nation on the face of the earth. And folks, each and every one of us, every church, every city group, every believer, every family, we all have a part to play. Doesn't mean we all go. Some of you, I believe God will call to go, but all of us have a part to play. How? Well, here we go. Some specific points of how we can be involved and apply Psalm 67. Number one, you don't even have to leave your seat to do this. You can pray. You can pray for the cause of Christ among the nations. We have a little bookmark here. You can take this home with you, stick it in your Bible, just to remind you to pray for God's work among the nations. There's a couple websites here that will help you to clue in how to pray for that. One specific prayer we have in this regard is called 10 by 20. 10 by 20, let me explain what that means. We're praying that by the end of next year, by the end of 2020, God will raise up 10 either couples or people, singles, from City Light Church whom God will call to go overseas to the unreached and have some kind of a plan in place to get there. We've already got about 5, so we're doing pretty good. Would you mind praying for 10 by 20? Oh, God, let these other 5 singles or couples be identified. Maybe I'm talking to some of them right now. With that, let's also pray for our workers on the field. We have several workers now who are living cross-culturally on the field. Please pray for them. The best way to do that, we don't name names here. Come to the Thursday night prayer meeting where we still don't name names, but you can still pray for them, and you can support them. They need your prayers. The reason these unreached places are still unreached is because they are dangerous. They are difficult. Satan has his throne there, and it is only through incredible effort and incredible prayer and incredible sacrifice that these nations will be reached. But it's happening. It is happening. And frankly, any Sunday morning, you can come to our pre-service prayer meeting, and there's prayer for the nations. So you can pray. That's easy. We can all pray. Number two, you can send others. Maybe you're like, oh, I'm probably not going to go myself, but you can help others to go. What do I mean by that? Support them. Get their emails, and yes, support them financially so that they can be freed up to do that work. If you want to be involved in that, you could kind of maybe put that on your Connect card. You say, I want to help to send others, support others, send others on your Connect card. That's second way. Third way to apply this, you can, I call this go locally. Go locally. Now, here's what I mean. What I don't mean is just sharing Jesus with your friends and neighbors. We should always do that. That always applies. What I'm talking about when I say go locally was, would you consider strategically going to unreached peoples that God in his sovereignty has brought to our midst? In other words, immigrants and refugees and folks like that from these people groups. Frankly, a great way to do that, some of you here are already doing that. The Upper Darby Church plant will be in an area that has an incredibly high amount of unreached peoples right there in the neighborhood. That's one way to be involved. If you want more info on that, either Upper Darby or other ways to reach the nations here, you can just put go locally in this spot on the Connect card. We'll hook you up. And finally, you can go globally. In response to God's call to bless the nations in Jesus Christ, you can go yourself, dedicating your life, or maybe just a portion of it, 2 years, 4 years, 5 years, to living overseas among the unreached, ministering the grace of Christ. And guys, let me tell you, be careful about saying, nah, never be me. I'll be one of the sending. I'll pray. I got my family. I got my kids. I got my job. I got my gym. I got my dog. Not going to be me. Folks, it doesn't get any simpler than this. Jesus Christ left heaven for you. Would you consider, at least consider leaving Philadelphia for him? Think about this. Jesus Christ came knowing he was going to die a horrible death on the cross. Would you consider going to a dangerous place, even on the risk that some harm might befall you or that your 401k might suffer? The risk is worth it. Age is no barrier. It's not just for the young. I'm just going to leave this right out there. There's such a thing called retirement missions. I'm just going to leave that there. Retirement missions. I've known some amazing older folks who dedicated the best years of their life to serving God overseas. So you can pray, you can sin, you can go locally, you can go globally. And one final point, and then we're done. We've been talking about blessing a lot, and we've talked about spiritual blessings in Christ, and I just want to sum it up, putting Psalm 67 in context of the entire Bible, and it's just real simple. It's this, ultimately, when we talk about blessing, the blessing is Jesus himself. The blessing is Jesus. All these blessings are through him, and Jesus Christ is the ultimate blessing. Jesus says, said, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. It's talking about blessing. He came to bless you and give you joy, just like Jake the Shazzer we heard about at the beginning, that you might have joy and bless others. In fact, the Bible says that, think about this, Jesus Christ became a curse for you so that you could be blessed in him and pass on the blessing to the nation. He himself bore your sins, our sins in his body on the tree, so that we may die to sin and live to righteousness. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He cried out, the writer of Hebrews says, with cries and lamentations, so that we could be saved from sin and death and hell and have joy in him. Friends, the blessing is Jesus. Are you here without Jesus this morning? Maybe you've heard about him, maybe like Jake, who we heard about in the beginning, you've heard about Jesus a lot, but you've never fully crossed over from death to life. You've never said, Jesus, save me from my sins. Friends, run to him. Nothing else you've ever tried is satisfied anyway. He will satisfy the thirsty soul and fill the hungry with good things. He will give you joy. Worship him. Bow the knee. Repent your sins. Cry out to him as Savior and Lord and be blessed in him. There's a sample prayer, if that's you this morning, on our Connect card. This prayer doesn't save you, but this is a way to help formulate your thoughts and you could put your faith and trust in Christ this morning. Are you a follower of Christ, but joy seems far away? Are you dry? You're like, man, I'm just not feeling the joy. I just have just a simple encouragement for you. Just draw near to God this morning. Draw near to him. He'll draw near to you. The Father's arms are open wide, and he wants to bless you with renewed joy and peace in him. Weeping may remain for a night, but joy comes in the morning, and we have a joy in him that no one can take away. So if you're not feeling joy, ask and you will receive. Put off anything that you know is keeping you from that joy and just run into the arms of your Father. And then spread it to the nations. Pray, send, go. It's the most shareable message there ever is. Eternal joy. Who doesn't want eternal joy? Jesus Christ took the curse so we could have the blessing. Jesus cried out in agony on the cross so we could cry out in praise. Jesus Christ took eternal pain so that we could have eternal pleasure at God's right hand. Won't you be part of sharing it? We're going to transition to the time in our service where we respond to everything that we've heard. There's many ways we can respond. The most sort of direct and obvious, especially given Psalm 67, is praise. We're going to stand in a few moments. We're going to sing songs of praise to God. And let's lift our hearts to the Lord. And you can even use that as a time of drawing near to God and letting your joy be renewed. Or we also will have a time of the Lord's Supper, of communion. At any time during the next three songs, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you can come up. There are stations here at my right and my left, and in the back, we have a gluten-free option in the back. And you can rip off a piece of bread, you can dip it in the cup, and you can eat and drink and commune with the Lord Jesus in your hearts. Feast on him. If you would like prayer for any reason, we have folks in the back under the prayer signs. They would love to pray for you. And finally, if you are a covenant member of this church, and perhaps the Lord might spontaneously bring a word of encouragement to mind, we call that prophecy. If that happens at any time, you can come up and see me. I'll be up here. You can share it. We'll weigh it according to Scripture, and then we will share it with the body as seems appropriate. And let's pray.